Velkommen til KT-podden. Vi i Kirken Kristen Tjeneste har gudstjeneste hver søndag fra klokka 11. Du finner oss også på sosiale medier og på kristentjeneste.no.
Church and Pastor Kristen and Gunbjørg. I stand here by the grace of God today. Let me pray. Lord, Amen. This morning I was reading a little bit something that really touched me, which is not a sermon, but I just want to read this to you. A voice from God. I made you for purpose and I have a future and hope for you. Jeremiah 29:11-13. And from voice from the Satan, you are worthless, you have no future and hope. God's word says, you are valuable for me, I love you. It is not conditional love, but it is unfailing love I have for you. Satan will say, no, you are valueless. You are no better than other ones. That means you are good for nothing. God will say, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Devil will say, no, God is far from you. And he doesn't care you. God will say, call me anytime. I'm available for you and will answer you. Devil will say, I'm not sure if you can call God for help. God's word would say, you can do everything with and through me. Devil will say, quit, you cannot make it. God's word say, I've chosen you from creation of the world. Devil will say, you are not chosen. There is someone else more talented. You don't even have a place here. God says, I have come to give you life and abundance life. Devil says, no, you should die and live miserable and end your life. Destroy and finish it. God says, I will take you through the valley of shadow of death. Devil says, you are alone. There is no one with you. You won't be able to make it through. God says, you are only one piece, unique. I was there to knit together. I saw your unformed body. Devil says, no, you are not supposed to be born. You were accident, not planned. God says, I have called you by your name and I will be with you. devil says, it is just promised. That cannot be true. He's not with you. God says, I have not forgotten you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Devil says, if so, how can these things happen to you? There are more than two pages. I just want to drop that one there. The thing I will be speaking to you, I've been praying for weeks. In the Western world, it doesn't look like even people or the world believes. But I will be talking from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. This passage is found in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And when I started thinking about the text and title, and I started listening to different preachers, I came to the conclusion God talks to your situation where you are in. And he gives you same word. It can be the same word, but he will tell you what you needed through that word so you get the fresh food. So, overcoming temptation and sin. But at the same time, I had these other things like, why God? Spiritual attacks, test, facing giant, spiritual warfare, wilderness experiences. I think there was divine purpose that God has given this text to me. Even though it's a church has already started doing series. When I talk from this passage, it's not about to highlight the enemy. It's about to see how Christ is the foundation, how he is the hope, and he is the future. That I have followed for years. Interesting thing about this passage is there is no eyewitnesses when it was written. It was Jesus' experience, and he was alone. God isn't asking you to fight the devil. He's asking you to simply uphold or sustain the victory won by Jesus at Calvary. And enforce his authority over the devil. It's more like traffic. They stand with the card or hand. It's not their authority that they stand with. It's the state authority that's been invested in them that people have to follow. It's not the power in us. It's the power of Jesus that we can stand in the midst of all this. Few things about attacks. Before I go to the text, I'd like to talk about it. In my life, there has been always first attack, then the blessing. There are things I've gone through after being a believer, and I've been attacked so many times. When I started church in Kathmandu, the neighbors did not like it. I was taken to the corner hotel. There were two guys, they had beer bottle in my head. I've survived so many threats. I cannot say like Paul, but I've gone through a lot. very thing your faith stands for, you will be tested. I found this true with the healing. If you believe on healing, you'll be tested. If you believe on marriage, you'll be tested. If you believe what you believe, your faith will be always tested. Satan will do everything to stop you when God is about to do a powerful thing. I've been part of many meetings, but this is old pictures. They will try to stop everything. The one way they will try to stop, put fear in me, was the night I was sleeping. 12 o'clock in the night, dark cloud came past me, woke me up, and there was a sound in it that tonight it was going to be last night. I had to stand, pray for that night, ask God's help with my wife before this meeting was happening many years back. And God helped me, but everything came against that I was supposed to quit this meeting, not host it, not do it, but tried every way, devil. But it was good that I stood, and because it's anything that's going to happen powerful, devil tries to stop it. In the church, in a family, in everywhere. Satan will not use this stranger we see in the life of Jesus. And it's true, Judas Iscariot. So Satan is very clever. If Satan can use closest one, Peter was used once, and God said, "Get away from me, Satan." It wasn't to Peter, but Satan was using Peter. Saul in the Old Testament, we see that he was prophesying with the prophets, but behind, when he came home, he wanted to kill David. I even realized in my own life that how Satan would try to put a word in my mouth and say, "No, this is not me, this is not God, this is the devil." And I have sensed Satan can use when we are not cautious and careful. Every trial has its own limit. Don't forget that. I like to read from the 1 John 4:4. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The one who is in us, whom we believe, is greater than anything, anybody, any forces of evil. Why was God be tested? Why would Jesus be tested? I started asking this. And this test had a few-fold meaning. It was to bring him to sin against God, so to render him forever incapable of being a sacrifice for the sins of others, to despair of Father's goodness, to presume upon his Father's power, get offended with the Father, to alienate his Father's honor by giving it to Satan. I see that my English text is not that great, but let's start with the text that I'm about to jump in. Matthew 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Before I go further, I felt there is so many details in here. Verse 1 says, then Jesus. What is he talking? It doesn't start with Jesus, but in my Bible, in the English Bible, it says, then Jesus was led. That means there is something connection between before and after here. Then Jesus was led. What happened before then was that Jesus was baptized. Jesus got a water baptism, and he had this dove, in the form of dove, that John the Baptist witnessed, and Jesus himself, Holy Spirit came, and he had this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he heard the voice of God right before this. And Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And that's where actually the thing started. But why wasn't Jesus tempted before baptism? And this is what I believe. I want you to be like Bereans who heard Paul, but they went and tested the word, what he was saying. You don't need to take every word I'm speaking, but there can be word that God has put in my mouth today that will change myself forever and you forever. So when he was baptized, why wasn't he tested before? And this is what I believe was that he would have not been able to handle this temptation or the test without the power of the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. For many years, I thought the word led meant that the revival, the word led mean flowing in the Holy Ghost. Word led mean, of course, helper, Holy Ghost. But I looked in the Bible, and there are so many men of God that were led by the Spirit. They went through trial and temptation. They went through life that Paul was stoned, Paul was persecuted, even though he was led by the Holy Ghost. When we say led by the Holy Ghost, it's not about jumping on emotions alone. Of course, emotions are powerful and we have to do what the Holy Ghost is saying. But when it's led by the Holy Ghost, that means total surrender to the Holy Ghost, what he's saying. Total life to the Holy Ghost that will shake your faith up and down. Because when we say led by the Holy Ghost, we are only talking a lot of time is how can we have a good time? And there is a balance. And the balance is you have a motorbike. Every part needs to be right. You need a gas. Without gas, you cannot move the motorbike far, but all the other parts need to be balanced too. And for me, that's led by the Holy Ghost. Into the wilderness. Why wilderness, not somewhere else? Wilderness is looked as a more of preparation, test, time by yourself. And wilderness is a tough time, tough places. No water, a lot of times. No help. Wilderness is a life situation. Wilderness could be a time of difficulties, challenges. Wilderness could be anything that we all go through. And be tempted by the devil. The word tempted in the Greek is test here. It is totally a test. No one has exempt from the test.
Jesus faced sun, heat, no human companion. We know that humanity is broken with a moral law. David says, I'm born in my mother's womb, in my sinful nature. And I believe this is what the devil was about to tempt Jesus. That first Adam has failed. Now you are second Adam. I'm going to do everything to fail you too. This particular wilderness that Bible talks about, it lies from Jerusalem and goes all the way to Dead Sea. It's a barren. It's a rolling area. It's a place that was tempted and tested. And then I also looked the word devil. What does this mean, devil? We talk about Satan, we talk about devil, diabolos, all that. Literally, word in Greek is diabolos. And we know about fallen angels. The Bible gives different name, Lucifer, Beelzebub, fallen angel. It terrorized the world through evil. Bible says in John 8:44, murderer, liar, father of all lies. The dragon, the old serpent, devourer, accuser of brethren. Revelation 12:2-12. John 10:10 talks about devil as a thief, stealer, killer, and destroyer. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the prince of the world, God of this world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, deceiver, accuser, ruler, authorities, power of dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. 2 Corinthians 2:11 talks about not to be ignorant of the devil and his deceive devices. Bible says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There are so many details in the first verse. Let's look into the second verse. After fasting 40 days. First, I would recommend you, if you are thinking of fasting 40 days, 40 nights, a little bit study about the fasting. Always take the water, juice, some food, whatever. Just don't jump without water or something. It represents preparation. 40 means the wilderness represents a place of preparation, the process and place of waiting for God. Next move. Place of learning to trust God's mercy. We see Noah flooding 40 days, Joshua with Moses 40 days. The Israelites wander in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days Moses fasted on Mount Sinai. 40 days, the days and nights Elijah fasted in the desert. All this was just introduction. Now let me jump to you a little bit more. Verse 3 and 4. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become a bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on a bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We all know the evil world is real. I was doing my seminary study many years back, early in the morning. I think it was 1995. I saw this Hindu holy priest stand before me and said, "Come back to Hinduism." And there has been so many times in the ministry where I have this encounter, where I have come to realization that how these evil forces are real. First temptation that he brought was he wanted to test him to bring a doubt on father's care and distrust his father. 40 days Jesus has fasted here. Jesus have heard, he has been filled with the Holy Ghost, he has heard Father's word. But what he starts with is, if the same method he used in the Garden of Eden to bring a doubt, in 2015, we had an earthquake in Nepal. And then I started, I had this internal thing that was going on, and one day it happened that I could not wake up anymore. I lost all my energy, and I headed toward depression because I saw the dead bodies lying here and there. Children's home was in a catastrophe. Things were very messy. I started asking God, why? What is happening? And eventually I realized that I started doubting on God's promises. I started wondering, God, are you there? The very thing that he was trying to bring is the only one, Jesus was the only one that was able to resist this temptation, or he was able to fight this without committing any sin, because he was sinless. But in that time, I heard God's word. One point says, "My anointing will bring the resources," which I've said this many times. And that word kept me. And I was pastoring in the church nearby here. And then I stepped down and said, "I need help." So I moved to America to get some help, because the trauma and internal conflict was too much in me. So right now, when I was reading this scripture, it says, if you are the Son of God, he did not even say, you are the Son of God. He said, if you are the Son of God, that means he was bringing doubt here. He was asking Jesus to question who he was. He was questioning his identity, and everything was right there. If you are the Son of God, what was devil trying to say? He has been fasting for 40 days and he is tired and he has no energy, and right there is the devil comes and tries to speak. Now we do not know which form, which shape devil is coming here, and if it is standing or if it is invisible or if it is intellectual attack. And I think a lot of time it can be intellectual, because Jesus goes through this period of time that he's saying, if you are the Son of God, I tell you, tell these stones to become a bread. Now, question is, he's asking Jesus, he knows the Jesus hunger. He knows that Jesus is empty inside his belly. And this is the best time he comes, trying to provoke him, that if he can make or do things in his own without dependence on his father, if he can start distrusting his father, if all the voices that Jesus heard, you are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, he started making question on that. I don't know about your life, but there are times where I have questioned things, even from the Bible. And I have said again and again, God, your word is true. I believe in it. And I have said, you are my pillar, you are my rock, you are my everything. Everything. And so what I see, the context there is that Jesus, devil tried so he could disconnect from Father's fellowship. Devil tried so he could question his own identity. Tell this stone to become a bread. Now, you know, bread is something that everybody needs. Bread is something that hunger needs, the food. And this was the perfect place. Food, this hunger was a motivator. And there was nothing there. But devil also knew that he was going to be the bread Messiah. Devil knew that he was going to be the Messiah that will give the bread to everybody. Devil knew that Jesus himself said later, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the gate. I'm the true shepherd. I'm the vine. I'm the resurrection and the life. He said that. And devil wanted everything to attack right there because he knew he wanted to get Jesus. Father already has said, you are he's my beloved son. So by bringing this doubt, he wanted to humiliate Jesus so Jesus could start questioning if he was the really son of God or not. And this can happen in our very life too. The devil will try to shake our faith. Overthrow the relationship with God, get offended by God. And these are the tactics of the devil. Because if he knows that if he can bring the doubt and confusion to the word of God, then he will start taking us further away. He knows that. Second part, and then Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. This is quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The reason Jesus is saying that the Israelites were there for 40 years, and they did not have a bread from the earth. They had a manna that was given from heaven. So Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. And he quotes the scripture. And you will see the later part how devil is very clever. He will also quote this scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word, God has given us logos, written word. It is a revelation. There is no new revelation. And a lot of time we have to understand that God uses nature, people, everything to bring the rhema word for the time, for the situation, for the context. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the only hope and future. There's no alternative. There's no plan B. And Jesus is saying, literally is, man doesn't live on bread, wheat bread alone. He lives by his source is God, not just earth. Earth is created by God. What is earth produced? It is not just from here. So everything that we need and help is word from the mouth of God. And this is what we need to go from step one to step two and to the life that we are living in. So devil tried to shake his faith, bring offending offense. And Christ refused to make a stone into bread. He could have done that, but he refused to obey the devil. He refused to obey the devil. And the devil tried to question the truth, if that voice from the Father was really true or not. He tried it. He tried to distress the Father's care for him. And he did not gratify the devil. But what did Jesus did? He put honor to the scripture. He himself revealed to the devil that he is the internal word. Even though the devil tried to question his sonship. So, and this is how the devil, first, he could not elaborate more than this first temptation. Let's look into the second one. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the, verse 5 following, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Before I jump on the text, I kind of want to talk a little bit about my own life. I like to share a little bit my testimony. I was born after seventh sister. And my dad, mom said I had little teeth. In third day, they took it to the village priest. And village priest thought I was a curse in the family. I'm happy they did not kill. But he did say to them that he will not worship your God. But life event folded. Things changed. I stayed at the orphanage for 7 years. For many years, I was wondering where did the rejection came, where did the loneliness came. I found out when I was at the orphanage, I was very lonely, and that's when the seed of rejection came. I walked with that for many years, for many, many years. I went through this healing things, some deliverance things. Some of those things I was able to just fight it on my own, but the process was long. Sometime after 2-3 years, the devil will again attack me on the very thing I stood. I don't know where you are in your life. I am just trying to walk every day. I'm not born in a Christian family, but I have times where I had to fight my own fight. And that fight, nobody else can fight for you. Only person that can fight is Jesus. After I realized that this was put in me when I was at the orphanage, I started fighting about it. And sometimes the devil is very clever. It will try to come back to me some other way. So you always need to find your route, take it to cross. There are things that I'm still working on. And very thing I'm preaching today, I'm in the middle of the crossroad in my own life. And this is why I believe that Jesus needs to be real. He needs to be real to you. It's not religious faith. It's not something that we teach. Jesus has to be somebody that you can hold hand more than your wife or husband. Jesus has to be somebody that you can cry, you can lean, you can put your pillow, everything like David. Jesus has to be so real to be able to move forward. And in that way, that's why Jesus said you can only live by the very word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we need that. I'm sorry, I've actually gone over, way over than my time. I didn't even realize. I want to respect the time, and this is why I like structure to God. Created 7 days. He created things in order, And I'm a firm believer of the structure. I'm also in the flow of the Holy Ghost. But I don't know where I am. So I can stop right here, or I can go further. Let me hear what Pastor says. Second temptation, or the test that Jesus had to fight, that I think it's more that the tempter came to him and said, if you are the, verse 5. Then the devil took him. But first, he could not change Jesus any right or left, and he could not inflate through his mind. But the second, he says, then the devil took him to the holy city, and we are talking about Jerusalem temple that's 700 feet high, and then had him stand on the highest point of the temple. That is the top of the temple, the slippery place of the temple. That's the highest honor of the, basically. And what he's trying to say is, if you are a son of God, said, throw yourself down, it is written. Now, since Jesus said it's written, devil came and said, he misquoted the Bible. He did. And every word that we hear in our life is not always from God. And even though preachers might preach something, doesn't mean that we have to take 100% in. We have to test it. That's why that's very important that we test it. Because the devil is using. I was in the U.S. many years back, and I was in New Orleans, and there was a guy drunk. He knew more Bible verses than I have ever known. And I think that life has to be proven with the word, and it needs to be. That's why word and life needs to go together. And then here, he was tempting that he could do in his own power and diminish Father's power. But Jesus was patient here. He was trying to bring a temptation of pride where Jesus could hear the word and just jump on. But Jesus wasn't. And there are three sins we all are aware of: lust of eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life. And he was showing something to Jesus that you can, just jump on. And even with the prophecy, let me tell you something. If God is saying to you something, you want to test that, if it is God or yourself or it is. Don't just be so quick to because there are too many voices around us, our own voice, enemy's voice, and God's voice. Don't be quick. If it is God, then don't be afraid, because you know it's God. And it's like, because I was so blessed with the two testimony last week. So he was taking in a high place. What does that mean? It's the high positions. And this is a temptation. Position can be one of the things that Jesus was only able to master it. They wanted to make him king. They wanted to put him in the top of the temple. And this is the only thing Jesus was able to. Sometimes the church position or the position around our world can be temptation. We really need to hear God, if this is where I need to go, or this is where I need to jump on. And what he says is, yes, you will. But one thing I see is that he takes all the way up, but he's not able to throw. He's not able to throw Jesus from the temple, if you root. He's not pushing. So devil will come as long as he will try to pursue you, as long as you can go, but he has no authority over you. Because when Jesus died at the cross, he put devil under his feet, under our feet. It's not my work, but through his work, what he has done, I can stand in that victory. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. Because the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus and he's able to go through this temptation test, the same Holy Spirit has anointed me, you, each one of us. And that's a key thing. So devil is not able to push him, cast him down. So Satan has a limited power. It will pursue it, but it can't kill you. It can take you with the thoughts of killing and destroying, but it will not be able to kill you. So when he misquoted the Bible, and what did what Jesus says is that he says from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let's look then, verse 7 and 8. Jesus answered him, it is written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. The temple was not enough. He took even higher and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. So he is saying, rest of the world. He is the prince of the world, so I'm going to give you the whole world. All this I give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. What is Jesus going to make each one of us and try to pursue for? All his goal was, here is the clue. He's saying, if you worship me, you worship me. He was trying to bring the idolatry in the Jewish world. And you see every time, even though God called Abraham, you see the descendants of Abraham had this tendency of bringing idolatry in the absence of God's presence. He was trying to give Jesus the world and so he could rule. All he wanted is that the devil wanted Jesus to worship him, bow down before him. So he can get the glory that Jesus was about to get. So he wanted to stop Jesus for sharing the whole most powerful words in the mountain, speech of in the mountain. So he showed him. Satan was very clever. He was he was hungry for Jesus' glory, and he was so he could compromise with that. He was trying to make empty and vain promises and bring this Gentile idolatry through Jesus. So because they have a lot of time, the heathen idolatry has been brought to Israel, and God has been always, you should not worship anything else than me. After that, Jesus did not give in, and then the devil left him. The angels came and attended. As I said earlier, every test, every temptation has its own limit. And after that, angels came and attended. Here is what I would like to conclude with. That we cannot do on our own life. We need the Holy Ghost. I believe that the attacks on your life have much more to do with who you might be in the future than who you have been in the past. Let me read a couple of Bible verses before I conclude. He disarmed. If Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13-14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Lord, thank you. God, for giving me grace to stand here today. and declaring that if you could go through that, through your blood, through your promises of the word, through your presence, Holy Ghost, we can make and go through the attacks, tests, temptations. Lord, thank you for your word. Word for me and whoever needs this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.